This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Republicans meeting with the head of DOGE about all the federal cuts and the reshaping of the federal government.
Elon Musk on Capitol Hill last night updated Republicans on his efforts to cut spending.
You know, there's a lot of opportunity to improve expenditures in the government, and then we're making good progress.
At a Morgan Stanley conference, Musk argued the government should privatize anything that can be privatized, including the Postal Service and Amtrak.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio in Washington. President Trump is expected to take the extraordinary step this week of directing his Secretary of Education to dissolve the Department of Education by executive order. That, according to sources familiar with the draft. European Union leaders are opening a day of emergency summit talks as the president suspends all U.S. aid to Ukraine. The president granted a one-month exemption on his new tariffs on imports from Mexico and Canada for U.S. automakers. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're heading to the theater this weekend while the snow melts, here are some moving pictures you might enjoy, especially if you're into sci-fi. Opening in wide release is Mickey 17. It's being called a sci-fi comedy, drama, mystery, thriller. It covers a lot of bases. I think the only genre they're missing is adult film. The movie stars Robert Pattinson, who plays an expendable on a dangerous mission to colonize a planet covered with ice. The film is getting mad love from critics with an 87% and certified fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Another new sci-fi film that hits theaters, In the Lost Lands, stars Mila Jovovich and David Bautista. The film is about a queen who sends a sorceress into forbidden lands to find magical powers, kind of a necessity in the sorcery game. It's a nice cast and sounds fun, but is batting about a 50% with just a handful of reviews in. If science fiction isn't your thing, there are still lots of leftovers in the theaters from the last couple weeks, and most Oscar films are available to stream. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks dominate Dallas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the shorthanded Dallas Mavericks in Milwaukee by 30 points, 137 to 107. Damian Lillard with 34 points, Giannis with 32, now with a total 20,000 career points. Men's college basketball, the Marquette Golden Eagles battled but lost at UConn 72 to 66. Next, they host number 6th ranked St. John's on Saturday. Head coach Shaka Smart after the game.
I told the guys we don't have a lot of time to, mope around and feel sorry for ourselves because we got another game on Saturday early. You know, I have a hard time flushing losses, but I have to lead the way for our team and set the example for that because Saturday's senior day.
The Badgers with a win in Minnesota, 74-67. Wisconsin guard Jack Janicki hustled, but got banged in the mouth. Did he lose a tooth?
He looks like a hockey player right now, but it'll be fine. It's just a little chip.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Matt and Air on Air.
A lot of federal employees got this fork in the road letter. You can stay, but you're not really guaranteed anything. Luann's husband is a Vietnam veteran.
I wrote a letter to President Musk. My husband put his life on the line for our country.
Wow.
You are putting my husband's life on the line right now by cutting all those programs that are keeping him alive at the VA. Please call your legislators and tell them to stand up. This is not what America is.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, making the popcorn pick of the week will be Civic Media's own Todd Alba. And then Northeast Wisconsin singer-songwriter Paul Hanna joins me in the studio. I'm telling you, don't miss this.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny, and it is not going to be as windy today. We'll get to around 41 for a high with wind. Northwest at 10 to 20 this morning, decreasing to 5 to 10 later this afternoon. Tonight, 27. Could see a few flurries or a little light snow tomorrow morning. Then clearing tomorrow, 36. We're back to 44 by Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
The Todd Alba Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time on The Serious Side. We'll talk about the 80,000 cuts proposed to the Department of Veterans Affairs and on what's worse, the Olio edition. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2.
Well, that was a little slap in the face yesterday, that weather that suddenly swept across Wisconsin. How are you dealing with it? Did you clean up pretty quick? Welcome in, everybody. It's a Thursday morning. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. I'll tell you, it was no picnic driving over to a dairy open house in Fenimore yesterday morning. The facility was fantastic, but boy, the roads getting there were anything but fun. Thank you very much to all of you rainfall reporters that have been active on our talk text line for the past 24 hours. Looks like most of you by yesterday morning had already picked up about an inch of precipitation. Go ahead and update those numbers for me or chime in. What your rain gauge says, that coffee can you're using for measuring, whatever it is, just let us know what you're seeing. The talk text line, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Looks like we've got sunshine on the way today. High temperatures right around 40 degrees. You might notice the wind, though, out of the west, gusting up to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow, cloudy skies, 37. Saturday, sunshine, 43. Sunny on Sunday, and 52 our expected high. Believe it or not, I see 60s. Into next week. We'll talk about that with Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist. He's on the way. And we're also talking this morning about the dairy complex and how it's responding to the announcement of tariffs against China, Mexico, and Canada, some of our most important trade partners. Bryce Windecker, dairy producer in New York State and on staff with EverAg, going to be our guest this morning. It's still sinking in. All the medals that Bavaria Sausage brought home from the German Butchers Association competition. Scott Stoll, one of the owners of Bavaria Sausage, says they walked away with 49 medals, 30 that were gold, and all the products they submitted, something you can purchase today.
Yeah, we picked products right out of the freezer, right out of the deli case, right out of our coolers, and that's what we brought. We did not do a special batch of any of this. We didn't know, but we had a feeling that we'd do pretty well with the Germans on this one.
That's Scott Stoll, one of the owners of Bavaria Sausage, capturing 49 medals at the recent German Butcher Association Meat Products Competition, recognizing the quality that started more than 60 years ago with Fred Bohl. Bavaria Sausage, shop those award-winning meats today at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitch Rotor Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday 9 until 1, or always open online. BavariaSausage.com.
The Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association is sounding the alarm. It sent a letter to the U.S. Department of Agriculture asking Secretary Brooke Rollins to immediately release funding for the Dairy Business Innovation Initiatives. The program froze, and the stoppage of nearly $29 million stands to impact 420 dairy businesses nationwide. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. One of the dairy businesses impacted by the funding freeze is Hidden Springs Creamery in Westby. On the farm, Travis Forgs manages 80 acres and milks 300 sheep for their farmstead cheese. Before the federal government froze the money, the Dairy Business Innovation Alliance was supposed to be a tool for Travis to supplement his own investments in growing his farm and creamery.
The Dairy Business Innovation Alliance and the four different groups that are out there, DBIAs, you know, working across the country, there's been a tremendous amount of positive support that we heard about. And it's not just, you know, for cheesemakers, it's for anyone that's looking to enhance dairy business across the country. And so we heard about it. My wife worked with the Dairy Business Alliance to go through a very rigorous process of applying. And it's not a, you know, it's not just this box of money. Not only do you need to apply, you need to, you know, show what you're doing, what you're investing. how you're going to grow the business and how it's going to affect the community. So, like, are you generating more business? You know, what's going to happen with the money that is being put in from the alliance, as well as are you invested in, you know, what are you putting in there? And so there was a lot of collaboration and work to really, you know, make sure that we had a healthy, positive program that could be successful. And so, you know, and we've looked at, there's been a numerous different programs. We're also get a solar array, which is not about this conversation, but I'm also frozen with the solar project, which we invested in and put in. So, you know, I think there's a lot of opportunities out there. There's a lot of things that the government was looking to enhance rural agriculture. So we took advantage of the programs that were there and made decisions on this farm. When you talk about growth, made decisions on this farm based on contracts we signed in part with just our own money, but also in collaboration with the government.
On the DBIA grant, the dairy business grant that you were approved for, I'll say, how much was it and what were you going to use it for?
This particular grant, it was a little bit over $90,000. And it was approved to put in a really large for us. Now, of course, everything is perspective, right? Because this is a small dairy, but a big walk-in freezer. So that freezer is for our Driftless products, which is a soft cheese that we're making that's been growing pretty substantially. We're actually headed into Whole Foods sometime this month with some of these flavors. So we can actually freeze this cheese, then, you know, have it available for Whole Foods and others in a bigger quantity. The program itself, when you say, like, I was approved, we were approved, and the way these programs work, they pay for certain things, they don't pay for other things, like the building, which is on us. But we also have to pay for it all up front before you get reimbursed. So they're pouring it as we speak. Like, the process of this going on has me now responsible for the $90,000 that I was in the business plan planning on being paid back for. So I have, you know, on top of the spend of everything else we're doing to make this work, we are now on the right now, which I just have a very hard time believing the federal government is going to default on its own agreements long term. But it is a shocking situation when out of the blue in one day we get a phone call while I'm getting poured, while the concrete is pouring for projects that we've been approved on, that they're not going to pay, that they're freezing the funds.
What do you do? Do you call the bank and ask for patience or forgive? Like, what do you do?
Right. There's no forgiveness. I mean, like, well, first off, I think everyone's in their own situations. I was on the call yesterday. First and foremost, you know, the Dairy Business Innovation Alliance and the people working there are distraught with all these programs and all these farmers that are left high and dry. So they had phone calls yesterday. I was on one of those, a lot of tears going from not just farmers, but staff, and fear of what's going to happen to the businesses that are now on the hook. For us, you know, we called, you know, I'm in close connection with my bank. So we will, you know, work through what we need to work through, but it really is can be crippling for a business. You know, I think it's really important as people hear about these kind of programs, if we don't believe that these programs are a good way to spend money in the future, which I'm going to argue it's a really good way to generate community and income, because, you know, we've been able to hire more people. We're bringing on another farmer to ship us milk. All those things are based on the programs that we built and we're spending on. But if we decide we don't want to do that, that's one thing. When you make promises to people, and I don't mean like a handshake, I mean a contract, and then you just say no, you're really, really messing with a whole lot of good people that were doing this with believing that the government wouldn't default on them. I have faith that common sense is going to come through here instead of just craziness. At some point, we're going to have some common sense that if you want to make changes to programs, you surely can moving forward, but you don't just cut people off at the knees. So I have some faith there. But then there's the bottom line of how you're going to pay for this stuff. And then for folks like me, where you're compounded because I have more than one of these going at once because I was doing a different program with the feds on the solar project, and they're not paying that either. So really important that you're in a good financial position and that you've been working with your bank. And thank goodness we're in those positions. We have a really good relationship with Compeer, who is our financer, and I feel like we're in a good place. But this, you know, it's not right. It's just not right. And it shouldn't be the burden of individual farmers or small business owners to try to figure out what to do when the federal government is just in this kind of disarray.
Travis Forgs, along with us from Hidden Springs Creamery in Westby. He's one of 420 dairy businesses across the nation dealing with a funding freeze from the Dairy Business Innovation Initiatives. Right now, he's on the hook for $90,000, but he's hopeful the federal government won't default on the contract. He is unsure how long it will take. The Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association is asking for the funds to be released immediately. As we heard from Travis, it's not the only government contract that's frozen. He also has a loan through the REAP program for his solar array that came online in January, but now that money isn't there either. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
The 2025 Wisconsin football schedule is here, and you should be too. Season tickets are on sale now, so don't miss your chance to jump around at Camp Randall Stadium this fall. Last year, 6 of 7 home games were sellouts, proof that there's nothing like game day with the Badgers. Secure your spot for marquee matchups against Ohio State, Washington, and Iowa, and enjoy the best value to see Wisconsin football in action. For more information and to get your season tickets, visit ewbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Join me as we find out what happened to USAID with Christina Dry, speechwriter and communications analyst for the agency.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the Center, WRCE.
Then we got David from Burlington, about an inch there. Frank from Elroy, 8 tenths. Mark from Fitchburg had an inch. Then we had over an inch from Butch in Alto. Jeff in Waupun, about an inch on the grass. And then from Burnett, 1.3 yesterday. What about the snow? Where did that land and how much?
Well, it was all over. I mean, even here in Fond du Lac, we had a good inch or more. I've got some official reports here. Hayward at 2 inches. Rudolph in Portage County in northwest of Stevens Point, an inch and a half. Racine with an inch on the ground. So it was here, there, and all over.
I'm looking at my camera up in Green Bay. They're still dusting, at least on the ground there. I'm hoping, though, that temperatures are going to start warming up to help us clean up, Stu.
Absolutely. Mother Nature is going to pitch in on this one. Temperatures start to moderate. In fact, above freezing today and tomorrow, and then starting to climb a little bit more Saturday, Sunday, and on toward early next week. Let's just jump ahead. By Monday, there'll be 50s. There may be a 60 in southern Wisconsin already Monday. So if you're a snow fan and you have a little in the ground, enjoy it today. It's going to go away in a real big hurry. So the system that brought all that activity all the way up into Ontario, Canada already today, pulling far east and away from us. We've dried out. There's a little snow still in eastern parts of lower Michigan and everything else starting to push up into Canada. But there's another system going to come out of the central Rockies, and it is already providing a little snow in southwest Nebraska. Rain, freezing rain, snow in western Kansas. That system stays far enough south, but will bring activity into Iowa and quite likely into far southwest Wisconsin, northern Illinois. There may be just a little snow in the south as we make our way on into tomorrow morning, especially in the far southwest. I don't expect it to be a real big deal, but there'll be a little activity just off to the south. That will mean a few more clouds and maybe a couple of degrees cooler on the temperature for the rest of us, and that's about the extent. That system clears out of here, and as we make our way to the weekend, that's when the mild air starts to settle back in. Those temps will be rising right on through Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and I don't expect we talk about much precipitation, maybe heading toward the mid part of next week before a little rainfall may return, and by that time those temperatures will be more mild again, so we'll be talking mostly or specifically about rain, I would expect, with the exception of far in the north. Far in the north, Hayward, Park Falls, I wouldn't be surprised if we started the weekend with just a little snow way up in the far northwest part of the state. I don't expect that to amount to much of anything, but a little light snow may pop up around that time as well. I'll have our forecast details right after this.
Your farm is more than land. It's a legacy. But do you have a plan for its future? Join Compeer Financial's AgriMindset Transition Planning Webinar on March 12th at 1 p.m. Estate planning attorney Brooke Didier-Starks will share practical steps to get started and tackle the tough questions with Dr. Megan Roberts, Compeer Ag Economist, guiding the conversation. Take the next step. Register now for the March 12th webinar at compeer.com/webinar.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Yeah. How quickly this ship turns around. Yeah, I'm seeing those temperatures you're talking about next week, Stu, but we got to get there first. Give me that forecast.
Yeah, a little on the cool side yet today. I did get a couple of new rainfall reports here. My friend John Deere Armstrong, an inch and a half. Sheboygan, officially an inch and 31 hundredths. Today's the day we get some sunshine. Well, the plow is by here already, so things are going to clean up with the help of that sun. Upper 30s, maybe a 40 in southern Wisconsin. Northwest winds today about 5 to 15. A few more clouds in the south tonight, and I'd expect temps generally in the low to mid 20s as winds become more northerly late, about 5. Tomorrow morning, that small chance of snow in far southwest Wisconsin, mostly cloudy south, partly sunny north, temps in the mid and upper 30s at least, winds become northeast at 5. And by Saturday, that snow chance in the far northwest, mostly sunny for the rest of the state, I'd expect, and upper 30s in the far northwest, lower 40s, Pam, in the south then on Saturday, west winds 5 to 10, upper 40s and low 50s Sunday, and like I say, we may have a 60 in southern Wisconsin Monday.
And we're running the gamut again as far as weather, temperatures, precipitation, it's all over the place.
Yeah, well, that kind of sounds like March, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. All right, buddy, very good. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks.
You bet. Have a great day.
Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist with your weather details. And you are welcome to chime in on weather details as well. The talk text line is open, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Remember, it doesn't have to be official. You can just give us your insights, what you see, what you noticed. Maybe you were driving in it yesterday like I was. Go ahead. Sound off. We'll talk a little bit more about how you can sound off on weather. It's Rain Gauge Rally 2025 time. National Weather Service hoping that you will consider becoming a part of their citizen scientists, the groups out, especially in rural communities, that provide weather observations for the National Weather Service to help them with their forecasting. We've got more on that on the way. Bryce Windecker, dairy farmer in upstate New York, is also going to join us. They've got heavy, heavy snow out there, and obviously we're all talking about tariffs and how it's impacting us. If you've got a building project on the horizon, stick around. Talking tariffs on that too.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, LoveLost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo-matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Republicans meeting with the head of DOGE about all the federal cuts and the reshaping of the federal government.
Elon Musk on Capitol Hill last night updated Republicans on his efforts to cut spending.
You know, there's a lot of opportunity to improve expenditures in the government, and then we're making good progress.
At a Morgan Stanley conference, Musk argued the government should privatize anything that can be privatized, including the Postal Service and Amtrak.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio in Washington. President Trump is expected to take the extraordinary step this week of directing his Secretary of Education to dissolve the Department of Education by executive order. That, according to sources familiar with the draft. European Union leaders are opening a day of emergency summit talks as the president suspends all U.S. aid to Ukraine. The president granted a one-month exemption on his new tariffs on imports from Mexico and Canada for U.S. automakers. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The tabloids love to stir up trouble and are continuing to do so following last week's Oscars broadcast. After Kieran Culkin won Best Supporting Actor for his role in A Real Pain, cameras caught Edward Norton, who also was nominated for his role in A Complete Unknown, leaning over and saying the F word to his wife. It's not 100% clear what he said or if he was referring to the fact that he lost or if he's the most awkward romantic ever. Margaret Qualley's star is on the rise after a small but star-making role in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and playing opposite Demi Moore in this year's Oscar-nominated The Substance, the world is pretty much her oyster. After a really unnecessary James Bond music tribute at the Oscars last week, which happened just in time as Bond was killed off 2 years ago, fans are now saying they hope the daughter of Andy McDowell becomes a Bond girl. Quite a leap. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks dominate Dallas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the shorthanded Dallas Mavericks in Milwaukee by 30 points, 137 to 107. Damian Lillard with 34 points, Giannis with 32, now with a total 20,000 career points. Men's college basketball, the Marquette Golden Eagles battled but lost at UConn 72 to 66. Next, they host number 6th-ranked St. John's on Saturday. Head coach Shaka Smart after the game.
I told the guys we don't have a lot of time to, mope around and feel sorry for ourselves because we got another game on Saturday early. You know, I have a hard time flushing losses, but I have to lead the way for our team and set the example for that because Saturday's senior day.
The Badgers with a win in Minnesota, 74-67. Wisconsin guard Jack Janicki hustled, but got banged in the mouth. Did he lose a tooth?
He looks like a hockey player right now, but it'll be fine. It's just a little chip.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, we will review the Marquette University Law School polling. Also, can cod liver oil and vitamin A cure the measles? Plus, what demographic is the president losing bigly? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny, and it is not going to be as windy today. We'll get to around 41 for a high with wind. Northwest at 10 to 20 this morning, decreasing to 5 to 10 later this afternoon. Tonight, 27. Could see a few flurries or a little light snow tomorrow morning. Then clearing tomorrow, 36. We're back to 44 by Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 25.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Anti-authoritarian feelings ran high in the years before and after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, as the Declaration's litany of complaints against the king suggests. So it's unlikely the Founding Fathers would have supported expansion of presidential powers and absolute immunity for official acts. The July 1st opinion from the so-called originalist members of the U.S. Supreme Court invokes Alexander Hamilton's Federalist Papers vision for a vigorous and energetic executive. Without that, quote, the president would be chilled from taking the bold and unhesitating action required of an independent executive. But that's not the whole story. Three other prominent framers of the U.S. Constitution, James Madison, Benjamin Franklin, and George Mason, feared the opposite and pushed for a multi-person executive council to decentralize power. Ultimately, they compromised, stipulating that the president should seek advice and consent from the Senate for appointments and treaties. Constitutional Convention delegate James Wilson said during debates on the Constitution, "Sir, we have a responsibility in the person of our president. He cannot act improperly and hide either his negligence or inattention. He cannot roll upon any other person the weight of his criminality." He continued, "Far from being above the laws, he is amenable to them in his private character as a citizen and in his public character by impeachment." We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Celebrate the women who have helped shape the world as we honor Women's History Month with powerful stories of Wisconsin's own. We recognize the leadership of Trisha Zunker. This history maker from the Wausau area is the first Native American woman to run for Congress. Zunker is a member of the Ho-Chunk Nation and has served as a justice on its Supreme Court, leading the fight for health care and the rights of indigenous communities. She's also a teacher and former president of the Wausau School Board. She believes in standing up for students and teachers, promoting inclusivity and equity in education. Zunker's campaign for Congress and advocacy for our community inspires women of every background. She is a reminder for all people to pursue leadership roles to make your voices heard.
heard. We recognize the powerful women from the past and those who are still writing their own herstory today. I'm Maggie Dawn.
The Todd Alba Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
News from the center, WRCE.
Listen, Jesse.
So about 2 o'clock today, we will find out who this year's U.S. champion cheesemakers are. That's happening up at the Resch Expo Center. Ben Jarboe is going to be on the road for us later today. We'll have all the details for you right here. Welcome back, everybody. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke. Glad to be along with you. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Boy, I'll tell you, we are busy trying to keep a pulse on the impact of federal funding freezes on our researchers, on our agency staff. Then we're also monitoring what reaction we're getting in the marketplace and in real-time business when it comes to the tariffs. Bryce Windecker is a New York dairy farmer himself. He's also on staff with EverEgg. We're going to find out how the dairy complex is reacting to all this news on a Thursday morning. I'm glad you're along with us. Don't forget the talk text line, still open. We're encouraging all of you to think about becoming a part of the Rain Gauge Rally 2025. National Weather Service asking all of us to participate in rainfall reporting this year. Obviously, you only have to do it when there's rain. They would really appreciate you joining the cadre of community scientists that they depend on for accurate rainfall reporting, especially in rural areas, to help them forecast. You can get signed up or find out more today at WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org. WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org. So today is the 6th day of March. What can I tell you? Happy anniversary of sorts to the community of Manitowoc. On this day in 1851, Manitowoc was actually chartered as a village. In 1870, it was incorporated as a city. Happy anniversary at Manitowoc. You kind of got your start on this day back in 1851. On this day in 1869, the first periodic table of chemicals presented. Did you have to memorize that? I think it was about fourth grade when I started to memorize the periodic table. Well, it was issued on this day back in 1869. 1899, the painkiller aspirin is registered as a trademark. Happy birthday today to the big man, Shaq. Shaquille O'Neal turns 53. And former chairman of the Federal Reserve, Alan Greenspan, he turns 99 today. And now you know, if you were planning some type of building project this spring, you may not know exactly what your costs are going to be. Why? Because of the tariff situation impacting aluminum, steel, as well as lumber. Key ingredients when it comes to building projects. I had a chance to visit with Sean Cleary from Cleary Building and ask him to explain how he has been proactive, trying to make sure that he was managing inventory in front of the tariffs, and then trying to help us understand what we need to prepare for if a building project was on our horizon.
We started working on this with some of our suppliers, specifically our steel and aluminum suppliers, prior to the election, and not knowing who was going to get elected, but, you know, it's 50-50, right? And so they have worked with the mills, whether that's domestic, and most of our steel is domestic, but there is a little bit probably imported, in securing supply before price changes and tariffs maybe were implemented. So we also started working on the futures and options markets with steel, with one of our companies, and putting together indices to help us kind of steady the pricing as we go here, not knowing what's going to happen.
We've talked before, people think about just the outsides of the building as the component that would be impacted. But through the whole process, there's a lot of different elements that you manage on a building that could are impacted now with tariffs or definitely could be.
Right. Well, there's obviously the steel, the trim, there's fasteners. There's also lumber or overhead doors, you know, are produced with aluminum, and there's tariffs on steel and aluminum. So highly impactful. Even things like I was just looking at an article related to beer cans and, you know, the impact of, well, look at machinery,
yes.
Which machinery, you know, since the pandemic, auto prices are going to go up. Machinery prices are John Deere just kind of reforecast its year. Everybody in that industry will be impacted if these tariffs actually stick.
So we were talking about managing through it, and a nationwide company like Cleary Building has to think about it. Do you look for new sources, Sean? Do you stay with the one that brought you to the dance? Or tell me a little bit about what that steel industry looks like from your chair. You need a specific product, a certain type. It's not always that easy to find other suppliers that can fill some gaps.
That's right, because as tariffs happen and import prices become higher, what does that allow domestic steelmakers to do? Raise prices. So what's happened in the steel industry in the last 30 to 40 years domestically is a huge consolidation of steel companies where you used to have like Bethlehem Steel, et cetera. You don't have those anymore. There's really about 3 to 4 domestic suppliers, and a couple of them are run very inefficiently. So they're already going to raise prices besides the tariff. So we have incorporated some futures and options hedging into our purchasing process.
That's Sean Cleary, president of Cleary Building Company, headquartered in Verona, but like he said, with a national reach, explaining a little bit about how he's been proactive, trying to get ahead of the tariffs, and now trying to forecast how it will impact the process going forward. Going forward, we've got Bryce Windecker, dairy farmer in New York State, and also on staff with EverAg joining us. Up next, a quick look at where the markets stand on a Thursday morning. Stand by.
Your farm is more than land. It's a legacy. But do you have a plan for its future? Join Compeer Financial's AgriMindset Transition Planning Webinar on March 12th at 1 p.m. Estate planning attorney Brooke Didier Starks will share practical steps to get started and tackle the tough questions with Dr. Megan Roberts, Compeer Ag Economist, guiding the conversation. Take the next step. Register now for the March 12th webinar at compeer.com/webinar.
Are you being offered a complete seed treatment package? If your seed treatment doesn't help against soybean diseases like white mold, sudden death syndrome, and rhizoctonia, then it's not complete. Heads Up Seed Treatment offers protection against all of these diseases through its unique mode of action, systemic acquired resistance. Get the best defense against the unpredictability of each season by completing your seed treatment package with Heads Up. Visit headsupst.com to learn more.
Markets seem to be holding their own so far on a Thursday morning. We'll be talking more about the markets with Bryce Windecker in just a moment. In overnight electronic trade this Thursday morning, right now we've got December corn basically at a standstill at 447. November soybeans are up 6.5 right now at 1016. The July new crop wheat's up 3 at 565 a bushel. Dairy trying to get its footing on the international marketplace. Barrel cheese yesterday dropped another 2.5 cents to 170.5. 40-pound block cheese, that gained a penny at 161.5. Double A butter, that came back 3.25 cents to 228.25 per pound. Now, the April class 3 milk that goes into cheese, that's up 3 cents right now, 1730 700 weight. The May contract closed 4 cents lower, 1774 100 weight. Don't forget, Follow us on social media today. Ben Jarbo has got the keys to the farm truck, and he's on his way up to Green Bay today for the announcement of the champions at the U.S. Champion Cheese event. Now, you can also follow it online. Go to uschampioncheese.org, and they'll be broadcasting the results via the web, uschampioncheese.org. And I told Ben he's making the trip up. He better have a good story for us by this time tomorrow morning. Not such a good story in dairy this morning as we try to figure out what these tariffs are going to mean to our dairy complex. Bryce Windecker on the hot seat to answer my questions. He's in New York State with EverAg, and he's up next.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Officials in Little Chute have removed more than 90 dead ducks from a storm pond, the likely culprit, bird flu. That comes after hundreds of rare red-breasted mergansers were found either dead or sick along Lake Michigan. Meantime, Wisconsin will start sampling milk at dairy farms to test for the virus. Fears that protections for our Great Lakes and more will be on the chopping block after EPA Director Lee Zeldin announced plans to cut the agency by 65%. The EPA oversees bedrock safeguards like the Clean Water Act, Safe Drinking Water Act, and Clean Air Act. It's unclear how those protections will remain enforced if deep cuts happen. For a deep dive into environmental issues and what you can do to protect Wisconsin's water, air, and land, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Nothing you could say could tear me away from my dog. My dog is Shallow, y'all. Hi, I'm Smokey Robinson. When you adopt a shelter pet, you not only bring joy and love into your home, you also give another animal the chance to experience that special bond. Join me in supporting American Humane Society and their incredible work to help our most vulnerable friends. Together, we can make a real difference. Donate today at AmericanHumane.org.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Maggie Dawn.
Marquette's newest poll has dropped. We'll be joined at 2 p.m. by Dr. Charles Franklin to discuss what Wisconsinites know about the candidates for the Supreme Court and what are our opinions about Elon.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. News from the Center, WRCE.
A Thursday morning, time to get an up-to-date look at what's happening with dairy. Everybody talking about tariffs, and there's a lot of layers to this onion when it comes to dairy. Joining us live from his dairy in New York State, Bryce Windecker. He is one of the dairy analysts that's keeping an eye on things for EverAg. I remind you, their website, ever.ag. You know, this hits so close to the skin, too, Bryce, when you're actually milking cows for a living. You see the ramifications immediately. Our Class 3 milk has come down precipitously as far as price is concerned. The product prices have eroded real fast with these tariffs. What are you keeping an eye on? What do we need to know today?
Yeah, absolutely. There's certainly a lot of noise around the dairy markets, specifically cheese and powders. More so than butter, with how much we rely on exports to remain copacetic on price. But there's really a lot more noise that's not getting the merit it deserves as far as fundamental markets. We've got a lot more cheese processing capacity coming online. A lot of these new plants across the Midwest and Northeast are getting more milk, especially higher component milk, causing a lot of extra cream floating around out there. So that's really had a big effect on our butter prices with how much cheap cream there is. And people are building up butter inventories very quickly. But we need to stay cheaper in order to get export prices to come down and get a bid for the global market to look at our cheddar cheese price and hopefully get some things booked. The European mozzarella price, that's the big indicator for if we're export competitive or not. And they've been creeping higher. Last week they were 198 per pound on their mozzarella, and with us down around 165 on our cheddar cheese, that's going to give us a lot of good look on some exports. But our number one export buyer is Mexico, and currently we're in, you know, a tariff exchange war, if I may call it, and we've got some headwaters to be above before we can get that product out.
Yeah, and you mentioned about the expanded production that's been being built for the past couple of years. Bryce Windecker, dairy analyst with EverEgg, on the phone with us here on the Midwest Farm Report. That one begs the question: if I'm on their board, if I'm their CEO, if I'm their banker, this has got to be exactly the wrong time for any kind of tariffs with anybody to come online, because wasn't the projections, Bryce, that most of that new production was bound for the international marketplace?
Yeah, it certainly was. And I think another thing that people don't think about maybe as much is what other plants are going to be closing because they won't be able to compete, or the company that built the new plant was shutting down some other ones. So there was certainly a little bit of that, but a majority of that new capacity is going to have to be exported, at least half of it from our figures. And we can only eat so much cheese as an American consumer. We already consume about 42 pounds of cheese per year. So at some point, you've got to be able to compete on the global marketplace. And I think one thing, something else we're looking at is New Zealand's milk production is up 5% on a volume fluid basis. And now that China isn't buying as much powder because they just simply don't need it, their economy is very sluggish and slow, we're seeing New Zealand make slightly more of their product into cheese instead of that powder now, and they're going to go after our Southeast Asian market. And our number two buyers of cheese would be Japan and South Korea, number two and three. So definitely some export headwinds, but we're certainly competitive at these prices. So I'm encouraging folks to kind of hang on and wait until we can get some through this tariff noise and get to some higher prices once we get some export orders booked here in the coming weeks.
Well, and then to it better offset, Bryce, because what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing from dairy country is milk production is coming back online. Fourth quarter, we talked about high path avian influenza in Arizona, California, then Texas, Nevada. That's been kind of dealt with. And now it looks like we're ready for a bigger spring flush than we might have expected.
Yeah, absolutely. No, milk production is coming back pretty aggressively across the country, but it's not so much on a volume basis. It's really components. There's specifically butterfat. There is so much cream floating around out there. We haven't seen cream multiple prices this low since COVID. And since everyone is making at least, you know, 4.5% butterfat seems to be a normal number in conversation, we're making all this butter. And I think we're ready for a big reset in 2026 with how much we're building inventories. It's oddly similar to 2021 when we were sub $2 butter prices. So that's definitely something to watch for, too, on the class four side of things.
Yeah. Is there anything else new that's kind of intriguing to you, Bryce? I mean, like I said, I hesitate to put all my eggs in the tariff basket because I think the audience and myself will get fed up listening to it by the end of this week. What else are you kind of keeping an eye on either domestically or globally that can be an influence to our dairy?
Yeah, I'm sick of talking about it. I'm with you. But EU dairy cheese prices specifically being elevated is certainly encouraging. But I guess something on the bear side of that coin is domestic demand is not good. I'm hearing a lot of bad things about February from February retailers. There's a lot of cheese being brought to the exchange because people just simply don't need it. And you look at Q4 and January sales from big pizza chains, and they're way, way down. So American consumers are strapped and simply don't have a lot of cash to have discretionary income to spend.
Any new products that might be out there ready to try to come online?
There is a lot of aseptic milk production that's going to be shelf-stable milk that's going to be coming online. Fairlife's going to be doing that. And then Cayuga Milk Ingredients also in New York has got a big line of that coming. And then there's some in the Southeast coming online as well. So I think that'll be a good thing for a lot of food banks perhaps schools that don't have enough refrigeration. That would be one good way to get rid of some product. But
yeah. Let's keep our fingers crossed. Let's keep our fingers crossed. They keep their funding for some of those arteries.
Absolutely.
All right, buddy. I'll let you go, Bryce. I know you're a busy man. Appreciate it. We will catch up with you again in a couple weeks.
Thanks, Pam.
Yep, you bet. Bryce Windecker joining us live this morning from his New York State dairy. He is a staff member for EverAg, keeping us posted on how the dairy industry is trying to pivot in light of all of these situations with the tariffs and such. And like he said, we're not going to focus entirely on the tariff every day of the broadcast. I promise you that. But boy, when you're a dairy farmer, it definitely is something we've got to pay attention to. Thanks for the calls and posts.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is news from the Center, WRCE.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Turkeys are dealing with not one, but two deadly disease threats. Details today on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
There never seems to be enough time in the day to get all your farm work done. You're tempted to cut corners, but doing so can put you at risk of injury or worse. I urge you to resist the temptation. Play it safe. So what if it takes a little longer? You'll live to farm another day. Farm safety is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork, through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. We've heard plenty about highly pathogenic avian influenza in recent months. Also called bird flu, it's the main reason why chicken eggs are so expensive. Turkeys have it worse, though. They not only contract bird flu, farmers are also losing birds to a disease called avian metapneumovirus. John Zimmerman chairs the National Turkey Federation.
Together, these two respiratory viruses have exponentially increased volatility, supply shortages, and market uncertainty. This 1-2 punch has caused many farmers to quit raising turkeys, with several others on the brink of shutting down.
Zimmerman farms in Minnesota, the largest turkey-producing state in the U.S. He says millions of birds have died so far. He told the Senate Ag Committee it could have been fewer had the USDA not taken so long to okay a vaccine.
I appreciate the importance of ensuring the safety of a vaccine and that the AMP vaccine was the first of its kind to ever be approved. However, when an entire industry is at significant risk, it should take a matter of months, not over a year, for a widely used and well-established global vaccine to be imported and available for use. I would encourage the committee to use your experience in evaluating USDA's review process to ensure a faster, more efficient response to future animal disease outbreaks.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we are talking all things legal with Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review. He joins us at 10:30. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Is it? Are you calling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is News from the Center.
Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
On a morning show get together today from WRCO, there is school in the Riverdale District. In fact, brought along several members of the student body today. Jeff Campbell is here, the district administrator, Callie Coe, who is the agriculture teacher for the high school, junior high, FFA advisor, and a number of officers in the studio as well. We'll hear from them today. Callie, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you. Did you have a good National FFA week at Riverdale?
Yeah, we did. We did a lot of celebrating in various ways. We included the elementary in some of our festivities, and then